This evening, coming from the Village Hall here once again in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we have enjoyed another tremendously beautiful summer day. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Joshua chapter 2. Things are going to start popping real quickly here, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 3. They read this way. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." For quite some time, the children of Israel had been encamped in the plain of Moab. And in Numbers 33, verse 49, we find that they were encamped from Beth Jeshimoth, even unto Abel Shittim by the Jordan, opposite the city of Jericho. Now, the second chapter of the book of Joshua, there's a typo, by the way, in the bulletin. I've got chapter 1, it should be chapter 2. The second chapter of the book of Joshua begins with these words, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.'" Now, this action by Joshua has given rise to severe criticism on the part of many. They accuse him of acting in unbelief and acting according to the flesh. The argument goes that Joshua should have trusted in the Lord completely, and that if he would have done that, he would have relied upon the Lord alone instead of sending out the spies. The passage of Scripture they cite to back up their thought is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." They contend that by Joshua sending out the two spies, he was leaning unto his own understanding, and they criticize him here as acting in unbelief. Perhaps. But then again, perhaps not. There's a fine, fine line between trusting God and tempting God. And this is a line that we have to pray every day to the Holy Spirit to keep us from crossing. And all too often, faith is confused with fanaticism. Or rather, the other way around. Fanaticism is confused with faith. Luther said something to the effect that we should not force God to do a miracle. And this is one of the devil's tactics that he tries to use against God's people. For example, he took the Son of God up to the top of the temple and set him on a pinnacle and told him to jump down, and then he misquoted Scripture. It says that he will give his angels charge over you to keep you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The Son of God countered by saying, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Somehow we tend to think, at least some of us do, I did for a long time, that when the Son of God lived on the face of this earth during the 3 years of his ministry, every day was chucked full of miracles. We tend to think that. That he went around doing one miracle after another. Now, it's true that he did many miracles, but they were very limited as far as when he did them and where he did them. And when you read the Gospels carefully, you find out that this was not the norm. The Son of God used natural means whenever they were available, and the disciples very, very often were surprised when Christ did do a miracle. It wasn't the norm. Now, God promises to provide for all of our needs. This is very blessedly true. But Scripture also says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. And more often than not, in fact, just about all the time, God uses natural means to provide food for us. The farmer goes out in the field, plants the seeds, crop grows, farmer harvests them, they find their way to the grocery store, we buy them. And this happens over and over and over and over. It's a miracle every time it happens, but it's not the kind of miracle we generally talk about when we're talking about miracles. It is nonetheless. Now, at this point, Joshua had no idea whatsoever that God was going to conquer the city of Jericho with a tremendous miracle. That belonged to the secret things that belong to the Lord our God. As far as Joshua is concerned, at this point he undoubtedly felt that he was going to have to make war in a conventional way against the cities. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. What was revealed to Joshua? Well, 40 years before that, when Moses was about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he sent out spies. And God didn't criticize him there for acting in unbelief. Spies came out, and they went in through the Holy Land, and they came back and they reported. And now Joshua, following that example, is doing the same thing. Only instead of sending out 12 spies, he only sends out 2. He knew what he was doing. Joshua was one of the 12 that had been sent out before. We'll get into that in a little. The land that Joshua was about to lead the people into was a very, very hostile land. It was filled with fierce people who would kill any chance they had. They were not friends to the children of Israel. He could not expect any help from anyone in that land. And yet that was exactly what ended up happening. There was a woman there who helped him in ways that he never, ever could have imagined. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's in Proverbs 16, verse 7. We see a fulfillment of that here in Joshua chapter 2. Now, the two men who were sent out there were sent by Joshua. In obedience to him, they were carrying out God's will. But it didn't take very long before they ran into a lot of trouble. In view of the experience of Joshua back in Numbers chapter 13, there is very, very good reason to believe that he was extremely careful in selecting which 2 spies he sent into the land. Joshua was one of the 12 that went in there, and you know the story. They came back, and 10 of them filled the hearts of the people with fear. There are giants living there. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. The cities have walls that leap under the heaven, that reach up to heaven. There's no way we can compete with this. And 2 of them, of which Joshua was one, Caleb was the other, acted in faith and said, God's going to give us the victory. We can do this. But the 10 prevailed, and fear reigned. And so the people were afraid. Now, it's reasonable. Is there any doubt that when Joshua chose the 2 spies, He chose godly men who weren't going to be afraid to follow God's command no matter what. Hand-picked. And these men received the fulfillment of a blessed promise, and it's Isaiah 55. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. We had in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, you've got a good example of that right here. They came to the house of a woman called Rahab, who was a harlot. I really doubt whether they realized that this was exactly the place they should be. I don't believe there was a sign from heaven that pointed out which house to go. But they went there, and you know, a lot of times we're guided by the Lord without knowing it. In fact, everything we do is guided by God. Not one hair of our head is going to perish. He guides everything. So they went to this house that was owned by Rahab. She was a harlot. No, she wasn't. She used to be. But they didn't walk into a house of prostitution. These men wouldn't do that. The name Rahab the harlot was a name that kind of stuck because that's what she used to be. We're going to find later on as we study this chapter, she was converted. She was a child of God. We are going to see a demonstration of the work of the Holy Spirit in this woman that is almost unbelievable. You talk about power. We're going to see it. But that's getting ahead of the story. There was a man named Simon that was a leper one time. And Jesus cured him of his leprosy. But even after that fact, he was still called Simon the leper. The name stuck. That's what he was known by. And it's the same way with Rahab. She used to be a harlot, yes, but she wasn't anymore. And we are not guessing about this. We'll give scriptural proof of it in the coming weeks. But for right now, she was not a harlot. I wonder if she didn't run kind of a motel or a hotel, rather. Or maybe the kind of bed and breakfast sort of thing, and then that's why the spies came in there. It would seem reasonable. We don't know that for sure. But they came there. They lodged there. And then all of a sudden in verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. It must have been known to all the people of Jericho that for quite some time now, more than 2 million people had been encamped across the river. It's reasonable that they would be very, very watchful. Secure their borders, which is something that our country maybe should be doing a little bit more of. I believe they did that. And even though the Jordan River was a natural barrier there, it was being watched. There's a lesson here. If these men were following God's will, and I believe they were, that's the way we're approaching it. I do not believe for 1 minute that Joshua was acting in the will of the flesh here. I believe he was following God's will, acting in faith, but using what God had given him. The same way you and I, when we walk across a busy street, don't just look straight ahead and walk over and trust that God is going to send angels down to put a blockade in front of the cars that could run us over. God has given us eyes. We use them to look to the right and to the left, and when there's a space to go, we cross. And that's not acting according to the flesh. But to do it the other way would be tempting God and forcing God to do a miracle. That's sin. So I believe these men are working in God's way. And there's a truth here. That when we follow Christ, do the will of God, it's not going to be uncommon that we are going to be found in sometimes very dangerous situations. And it's going to look like things really aren't working out at all. Who would know that the king, king of Jericho, somehow found out that these spies were in there? They went secretly. Why did God allow this? You know, God does not act the same way all the time. He kind of does things differently every now and then. 40 years before this, they sent 12 spies into the land, and these guys, they went from one end of the land to the other, and it seems like they were completely undetected. Now he sends 2 spies in secret, and right away they're found out. Right away they're found out. They're not losers by this. They are going to see a miracle of God that they would never have seen had they gone undetected. That's part of the blessing in it for them. There are other thoughts here. You know what? Scripture says the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And we see that over and over and over again. As secretly as these spies tried to do things, King Jericho spotted them. Somehow, he found out about this. He was undoubtedly warned that this could happen because they knew these people were over there. And maybe he's a good example for a child of God to follow. There are a lot of warnings that God gives us in Scripture. I wonder how often we take them to heart. Or do we sometimes go day after day after day without even realizing the dangers that we're in? And well, we could do that. We all do that. Well, this guy didn't. He had people out there to watch, and they found the spies. Another line of thought. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Yeah, they were spotted. And they were even traced to the exact location where they were spending the night. But they escaped because God is in the picture. He's in the picture. And this is something you and I have to remember. We are never alone. And if we're following the will of God, we are going to be protected. The guardian angels are going to be with us. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, viewing it from another angle, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, verse 3, the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Now the spotlight is on Rahab. And the men being in the house, they may very well have heard this particular command by the king. And think of how they felt. What would be the consequences of spies? How would they be treated? Well, they wouldn't be read their rights and given lawyers to defend them. We know that. They probably wouldn't have lasted the night. These men were in danger of being put to death, and it all hinged from the human side of things on how this woman reacted, whom they had never met before this day. What's going to happen? You know, these men had the same kind of fears that you and I have. We pass through similar experiences where when we follow the will of God, it seems like everything is falling apart. We can expect the same thing that these men did. That God is going to deliver us, and sometimes through a miraculous miracle. And we'll get into that, God willing, next Sunday. But we'll, in preparation for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing Create in Me is found on page 20 in the front of the hymnal.